Blog Talk Radio.
I've only just begun to find the things that count. Things that I've been living for, I can live without. To try to please this restless mind is just a waste of time. A warm embrace, a friendly smile, these are things worthwhile. I've only just begun to have the sight to see things around me as they are, instead of seeing me. Seems the more I go inside, the more I go beyond. The magic is in everyone, that's why we go on. We've only just begun. Just begun. I've only just begun to see it's up to me. I can blame nobody else for what I've come to be. Every day is a turning point. Which way will we go? Grab the moment, seize the day. Tomorrow, let it go. We've only just begun. Just begun. Just begun. Only just begun. I've only just begun to find the things that count. Things that I've been living for, I can live without. Father Time will tell his tale. The human race is run. we can live in harmony. Or we could be done. We've only just begun. Only just begun. Only just begun.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Earth 101. I'm your host, Leslie Draper, and the show is streaming live to you from Norman, Oklahoma. And we are really glad that you are here. I hope you can hear me okay and that we are coming through loud and clear. Let's see, having a little bit of issues with Blog Talk Radio, and that surprises absolutely no one, right? I'm having trouble getting my chat room to load. So if this is your first time with us, know that you are jumping into a class that's been underway for quite a while. We still welcome you with open arms, even if you're just now checking in with us. You can go back and listen to any of the former classes on Blog Talk Radio for free. And then you can, if you are moved by the class or if life changes from the class, you can make a donation to cover the Blog Talk Radio fees or any of the other fees associated with the class. That's possible. And if you're interested in having private coaching sessions, members of the class receive private coaching at a reduced rate than what it goes for normally. So you can check that out on my website at BibleBeltMystic.com. So we were chatting. I'm in studio tonight with Courtney and Emily. So both of my wonderful sidekicks are here. I love that word now, sidekick, because Avery used it several years ago, thinking that psychic was sidekick. And for, you know, like, what do you want to be day? She told the class she wanted to be a sidekick, just like her mom, you know, and she meant psychic. So sidekick and psychic and sidekick have some really special meanings in our family. You know, we wouldn't be doing today justice if we didn't at least address, you know, the memorial of the date. And I don't want to spend a lot of time there. I actually really like what Melina O'Connor posted on her Facebook earlier today about the date. So if you want to go read what she wrote, please do. I thought it was very poignant and very, very high vibrational post, if you ask me. So you can go back and look at that. You know, yes, we absolutely want to remember every life that was lost. And we want to heal and honor those lives and everyone touched by it by coming together in a spirit of inclusiveness. And so today is a day to, you know, really embrace humanity soul to soul. And we're going to do a meditation this evening called the Light Body Meditation. And I was the one who led the meditation today at Morningstar, which is my church home. And I recorded it, and I have it for us tonight. If technology will indeed cooperate, I was trying to upload it to Blog Talk before we went on the air, and I didn't get it to quite work. So I'll try it. I'm going to play it on my computer and then have it, you know, stream through to my phone, which is how I'm calling into Blog Talk. So we're going to see if that will work this evening. So as always, most of our chatting is done in the Facebook group, Welcome to Earth 101. So if you have a question or if you have a suggestion, this is the place where you check in. If you have, you know, a question relating to the class, something that's going on in the world that you need a spiritual perspective on, or anything other than a psychic reading, you can call into the phone number, which is 929-477-1582. At this time, I am not doing psychic readings on air. So that is not an option at this time, not this week, last week, or next week. I am really working on the spiritual teaching side of things and not on the intuitive readings. I don't like that word psychic anyway. Okay, so if you have a question relating to something other than an intuitive reading, you can call in 929-477-1582. Okay, so moving forward, a couple of things. First and foremost, if you're a local member of this class, we are going to have a full moon release at my home on Friday night, okay? And so if you're not local and you really want to be part of this, we might be able to use Skype or FaceTime or one of these programs that will allow you to Skype in. And then we can have someone symbolically burn a piece of paper for you. So I'm not saying you can't participate if you're not here local, but it, of course, it's going to be easier if you are here local. So if you are Friday evening, my house, I put the time down to 7 so that it will be getting cooler. If it rains, we're going to do things differently. We'll make it work somehow because there is a chance of rain. I have ordered flash paper, a large supply of flash paper. So if it rains, we can do the releases in the house because the flash paper doesn't give off much smoke, you know, because it burns instantly. So we could do it safely inside if it does rain. And if it doesn't rain, we're going to have a lot of fun with the flash paper outside. And because it burns so quickly, there's not a lot of risk to it. So, and I'm pretty sure I bought enough for everybody. So I was like, okay, I used to order it off Amazon and they stopped selling it. So I had to find a magic shop that offered it. And so I ordered 5 packages with 20 sheets each. So we'll have 100 sheets. So we should be good. We should be pretty good there. So anyway, Friday evening at my home is going to be the fire release. Now, in the past, whenever we've done a fire release, a full moon ceremony, or, you know, we did any type of thing, normally what happens is my family makes the main dishes, and then we have everybody bring sides. Okay. This time, however, you know, this is going to be a really crazy week for me. I say we all just bring some type of side, and we have, instead of like a meal, we have munches, you know, like munchies. And there'll be, yeah, finger foods, chips and hummus and that kind of stuff, because I'm just being really honest here. I don't have the energy or the time to devote to making big, big, substantial food like I do in the past. So, you know, I think we'll just have light foods that you can, you know, reasonably eat easily, finger foods quickly. So that's the plan. So if you want to bring something, bring finger foods. You know, my favorite thing in the world is the roasted red pepper hummus. So if you want to bring that with those little thin pretzel things, oh, you know, I'll stand by you all night long. The pretzel chips with the hummus, the roasted red pepper hummus is like my favorite thing in the world right now. It is so, so good. Okay, so moving forward, let's really work on coming together and sharing in this path, sharing in this time, and supporting each other wherever we are on our journey. Now, this was a conversation I had with someone last week. In this group that we have, you know, I looked at how many people were in the group to be invited to the full moon release, and it was like 50 people. And I thought, wow, we have 50 people in this group. Now, not everybody's active. I know that. Some people are more reserved, and they don't participate as openly, and that's fine. You're still part of the group. But in those 50 people, really think about the very prolific or very varied places where we all are on our journeys. You know, some people, they're baby steps on their spiritual journey. And some people are, you know, basically up on Mount Everest. And then there's everybody in between. So don't feel like, oh, I can't really go because I'm not as far along as this person. No, every person is welcome. And wherever you are on your journey is just fine. And if you can't tell, Mercury retrograde really has my words fumbling for me. I'm really fumbling on my words this evening. I apologize. But wherever you are on your journey is fine. So whether you feel like you're baby steps or you're to the point where you really need oxygen because you're climbing so high, you're good. You're welcome here. You're wanted here. That's the great thing about being at different places in our journey. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think we do a disservice to our children with the way we have school set up. You see, we were never meant to put, you know, 25 5-year-olds in a room. Who's modeling the proper behavior in that room? The teacher. And that's it. Okay. This is why sibling groups actually do better than groups of children the exact same age. This is because you need those that model the behavior. And so if you have in a classroom, you know, a mixed group from first grade to fifth grade, yes, they're all working on different things, but they learn, you know, the fifth graders will learn the material differently because they're helping the first graders learn it. And then everybody's learning at their own pace, and then everybody's supporting each other. You see, sometimes if we're all at the same level, if we're all in first grade, all of us are struggling so hard to get it that we can't support each other wherever we are. And that's why having a diverse group is amazing. It's because we support each other all the way through. And so those that are further along can help those that are new, and those that are new can share their enthusiasm, because at some point you get further along on this journey and you're like, I'm over it. When the hell am I going to be ascended already? Shouldn't I be past this crap by now? And I'm talking about a few of us, okay, that we get really discouraged because we think we've been on this journey for so long. Why am I still having muggle moments? Yeah, that's it. So the new people come in with the enthusiasm, and then we get the benefit of each other and the learning. So I think it's fabulous. And that's it. We all teach each other, and we meet each other where we are. Melina wrote, ha ha, so over it. Oh, my gosh, don't I know it. I am so over it as well. I had that moment this weekend, and I was like, I spend so much time on my spiritual path. Shouldn't I be levitating by now? And I meant that very sarcastically, because clearly I'm a long ways from levitating. But with the amount of time I devote to this stuff, one would think, at least I could levitate briefly, 3 to 5 seconds. I mean, I'm not asking for an hour here, but 3 to 5 seconds would be fine. And this is just a reminder that there's no there. You never get there because there's no there. So anyway, I love the group as it is, and I love that we're all where we are on our journeys, and we're inclusive, and we invite each other, and we love each other, and it's awesome. And so I love it. So great, great. Jana wrote, just story of my life, but I'm changing my story. That's actually kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. The power in your story, okay? There is so much power in the story that you tell. And, sometimes we have to create a space to be really honest about how we're feeling or where we are in life, meaning I can't sugarcoat this. I'm not going to make it look like something it's not. I'm in a bad place. That's okay. You know what? That's okay. If you need that little space where you've created just this brutal honesty, that is okay. Take the space you need. But as soon as you start healing, change the story. Start telling your stories of success and your stories of prosperity. You see, part of what's going on is we've been told that it's wrong, that it's bragging, that it's putting on airs or whatever we want to call it of the day, that you don't tell people your successes. Right? We can't celebrate the successes because that's wrong. That's bragging. But you can tell everybody your troubles, right? So we can tell everybody our troubles all the time. And the problem with doing that is now that we are on this journey, we know that what we talk about, we bring to us. So other than when we create the safe space, because we truly need support or we truly need prayer work or we truly need healing, whatever it is, we've created our safe space. Other than right then, right there, talk about what you want. Talk about what you want to bring to you. Talk about the things you want to manifest, that you want to create, that you want to bring into you like a magnetic frequency, because you literally are doing that. You literally are attracting your experiences. And I know that you know this, but we all need reminding from time to time that you have to create the story. And this is where the gift of imagination comes in really well, because we can imagine what we want our life to look like. And if we can't get too specific there, then we can at least imagine what we want it to feel like. And so we have to be willing to change the story. You have to be willing to let go of what's not working in order to catch what's going by that could work for you. But if you're absolutely clenched on with both hands to what's not working, you're not going to change anything. You see, you have to make room. And this is why, Louise Hay says, if things are feeling stuck, go clean out your refrigerator, go clean out your closet, get energy moving through your space again, because it's symbolic. It's metaphorically powerful. It says, I'm making room for the good. The problem is we don't want to let go of the stuff that doesn't work. And then we're mad because we're not attracting what does. And so that's where you have to be willing to really let go of the things, let go of the sob story. And I say that to me as much as I do to anyone else. Let go of the sob story. Let go of the angry story. Let go of the broken story, the sick story. Let go of all of them. And then begin to pick up the pencil, pick up the pen and write the one that you want. The story that you say the most often will be the story that manifests in your life, okay? The challenge is that we haven't really created a very effective system or society where that's encouraged. You know, we have this idea that we have to own whatever is in our lives right now. And yeah, you do, unless you're releasing it to make room for something else. So it comes to balance. You know, yes, there's a time to own that everything in your life is there because of your vibration, your soul contracts, your soul lessons, and your experiences. But if it's not what you want now, you owned it. Now let it go and go own something else. Go let the good stuff come in, okay? Go let the good stuff come in. And the other part I wanted to talk about tonight is, as I clear my throat, codependency. Woo! Eyes just rolled in this room. None of us know anything about that. Codependency. I'm talking to all of you incarnate angels out there. Guess what? You're codependent. And it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? You know, here's that. Jana wrote, ouch. I know, right? Codependent, you know, and I can own this part of my story and then I released it. But, you know, there were many, many years there that I did not believe that I could be happy if my husband wasn't happy or my kids weren't happy. You know, I thought that if they weren't happy, then I felt guilty because in some way I had to be letting them down or they'd be happy. In some way I wasn't doing what I needed to do to them or they'd be happy. I was clearly failing them in some way or they would be happy. And if they weren't happy, then I couldn't be happy because I couldn't let them be unhappy alone. I mean, the only thing worse than being miserable is being lonely and miserable, right? And so I had that in my head that I had to go wherever they were, you know. So if my husband had a bad day, then no matter how great my day was, I was going to go right there with him immediately. Like, oh, God, it's such a bad day. It's so awful. I'm sorry. It's horrible. If my kids had a bad day, then I was going to immediately go there to meet them. It's such a bad day. I'm sorry. It's awful. It wasn't until I really started having coaching clients that I realized that if I didn't fix that part of me, I was never going to have a good day again. Because someone every single day in my healing ministry is having a bad day. Most of the time people come and see me when they want to change their life for the better. But a lot of times people come and see me because they're having their worst possible moment. They've lost somebody. They need a medium. They've lost a job or they've lost a spouse or they've lost someone close to them. They've lost part of their identity. And so what became clear was that if I was having a bad day because my clients were all having bad days and I came home, you know, my family wasn't so willing to come meet me at my place of misery. They kind of left me hanging, right? And then they would say, well, what's wrong with you? Leave work at work. You know, why did you have to come home and be in a bad mood? You're going to make everybody in a bad mood. I think that was the moment I really began to realize what codependency meant. You know, it meant that I cannot be happy unless the people I'm closest to are happy. And if they're unhappy, I'm going to be unhappy because my mood depended on where they were at the moment. And if this is something that you struggle with, I'm asking you to really take an honest inventory of this, because if you want to help your loved ones, help them by demonstrating healing. Help them by demonstrating joy. Help them by being loving, lovable, happy, joyful, and healthy. You know, yes, if you've been in a codependent relationship for a very long time, your partner might not like this. You know, your partner might not like that you're not willing to be unhappy and miserable just because they are. And at first, they might even resent it. But very quickly, what happens is that a very natural order is restored to the dynamics of the home or the relationship where the codependency had existed. You see, the natural order is, I'm not going to make you responsible for how I feel. Ooh, let's say that again. I'm not going to make you responsible for how I feel. And this means that I'm not going to be responsible for how you feel, because your feelings are yours and my feelings are mine. And this is one of the biggest things you can do to give yourself freedom on your path, and the freedom to be happy, to be healthy, to be joyful, to be free. It is, I do not make you responsible for how I feel. That's pretty profound, right? I heard some version of that several years ago on an Abraham Hicks YouTube video. And on it, that was the gist of it. I can't remember the exact wording now, but basically it was, I think it was a husband and wife where one of them was joyful and happy and the other one wasn't. And so they were saying to the one that was joyful and happy, you know, say to your partner that here's the great news. I free you. You know, I free you from ever having to be responsible for how I feel. And at the same time, I free myself from ever having to be responsible for how you feel. You see, if you want to truly help your spouse, your child, your best friend, your aunt, your mom, whoever it is, okay, demonstrate how to be joyful or how to be happy every day. Show them how to pull yourself back together to a place of joy when maybe life hasn't been so gracious at those moments. But I'm not going to make you responsible for how I feel. Those are powerful words right there. Really think about that. I am not going to make you responsible for how I feel. Is that freeing? You know, does that feel, it feels great to me, you know, because I'm only responsible for how I feel. I'm only, logically, I can only be responsible for how I feel. For everyone else, I can give them tools, but I cannot make them use them. I can give them inspiration, but I cannot make them use them. So logically, I can only be responsible for me, and I cannot be responsible for someone else, period. You want to really think about that? Think about a power struggle with a two-year-old. If you want that two-year-old to not like, I don't even know what show to say because I don't watch those shows anymore. What's a show a two-year-old would watch?
Paw Patrol.
I think. Paw Patrol. Mm. I mean, if that two-year-old absolutely loves Paw Patrol, I mean, just absolutely loves it, can you convince them not to like it? Not very likely, right? Because even at two, that two-year-old knows what brings her joy and what doesn't. That two-year-old knows what feels good and what doesn't. So if a two-year-old can know emphatically, this show brings me joy, so can we. You know, so can we. And so there is the profound insight in that. And that codependency robs you both. It does. It absolutely steals from you both or you three or however many people are in this web of codependency and relationships. Because it takes away your power. You know, oh, there was this meme on Facebook that I shared yesterday or the day before, and it says, if you're complaining, you're giving away your power. I thought, how powerful and profound is that? If you're complaining about something, you're giving away your power because what you're saying is, I can't be whole because of how this is. Right? And so, you know, same thing here. You know, if you're codependent, then how can you possibly be autonomous and powerful in your own life? If how you feel or how you see the world or how you see life or how you react to life is dependent on the beliefs, the experiences, and let's take it up a notch, the soul contracts, the soul lessons of another autonomous being. Crazy is that. That's crazy, right? And yet how many of us do it on a daily basis? So it's time to cut the cords to codependency. It's time to really, not just logically, but yes, logically, but also very innately, very profoundly, very feel it in the core of your being, feel it, that you are going to free yourself from this burden of codependency, that you feel how you feel how they feel, and that neither one of these things have to influence the other, nor should they influence each other unless we're talking about sharing in joy. We're talking about sharing in joy, flock like a flock of birds and lift each other up. Right. Otherwise, when we're talking about codependency, we're talking about something that is truly depriving both people or all three people or however many they are of their right of autonomy. It is making things much worse instead of better. So if you need to work on this, you know, your daily affirmation should be, I can only be responsible for how I feel. okay? Or I'm not going to make you responsible for how I feel, and I'm not going to be responsible for how you feel. I free myself. Yep. Melina wrote 9/11, perfect example of giving our power away, and I was military during 9/11, just saying, so I get it. Well, I don't think you were on yet, but I referenced your post and told people to go find it and read it. I don't think you were online yet when I did that. It was one of the first things I did. Yes. You know, we have to, and we need to learn how to honor people without getting really lost in the pain of something, right? We need to do that. Okay, so this week we're going to focus on, you know, the feelings of codependency and the feelings of empowerment, okay? Because you cannot be empowered. I mean, truly, you cannot be empowered if you are in a codependent relationship, because how powerful you feel on that day will be directly influenced by how that person feels. You know, are they going to let you feel powerful that day or no? Are you going to have a great day and then, you know, you get home and find out that they've had a rough day and they just kind of explode, and so you immediately feel your energy sinking down, you feel your mood sinking down? So that decision that you're not going to make them responsible for how you feel, and you're not going to be responsible for how they feel, is one of the first steps to freeing yourself from this so that you can step into true empowerment. Okay? True empowerment is about pulling your sense of consciousness, your place of power, your sense of consciousness, your vibration, your frequency, pulling it back and directing it in a direction that you consciously want it to go. Okay, that's what comes from this. Okay, so any questions there? Again, the chat room is, there's not much going on there, but I'm watching the Facebook group. So any questions there before we move on? And I was looking at that. Okay. All right, so moving on, you know, really do use those. If you find yourself being in a place of codependency, use those two affirmations to start to bring balance back in, because everybody needs to be free from that. It's not just freeing you. It's freeing everybody in a codependent relationship, because what a burden it would be to not really know how you get to feel about things until you check in with someone else, right? To not really know if you were having a good day or a bad day or an okay day until you checked in with the people that you have the codependency with to find out how they were feeling, and then you can gauge your feelings based on where they are. This is the stuff that we have to heal if we're going to empower ourselves. Right? Okay, so moving forward, let me make sure I don't have anything on my phone. Okay, so today's meditation that I did at Morningstar that I'm going to play was a light body meditation, okay? And this meditation was about, it was really about shedding all the illusions of separation from us, okay? And this is saying that in all these ways that we identify as, you know, female or a mom, or, you know, whether I identify as, are you okay? Sorry, we're checking on Emily here. She's not feeling good this evening, so we're going to have her go lay down. She feels okay. She's just tired. She may have eaten too much of the dumplings, just saying. But then again, we'll see. Okay, we have that small thing taken care of. Okay, so this meditation is about shedding the illusions, okay? Anything that causes us to separate from anyone else. Now, that one was in there, Republican, that one is in there. It's the last one, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, or Libertarian. They're all in this meditation. And so it is about shedding all of those things so that we can come together and see each other in truth without the illusions. You know, we get so hung up on things that are just really only relevant for this one incarnation. I strongly identify as female. I do strongly identify as female. I would not want to be male in this lifetime for anything. It feels foreign to me. It feels gross to me? No way. But I know I've been male, and I know I was probably happy being male because it was part of my soul journey. You know, we experienced both. And so, you know, I've also identified very strongly as, you know, the only slightly frazzled Zen mom, right? That hashtag. But there have been other lifetimes where I wasn't a mom. And maybe I wasn't even a dad. Maybe I know there were quite a few because I think when I looked in some of my records, I've been a nun or a monk a ridiculous number of times. So I know there were those lifetimes too, but this lifetime I identify so strongly as a mom. Now, what about citizenship? Here's where, and you are free to believe whatever it is you believe, but at the point where our citizenship becomes a separation for us, that's when I think it's become unhealthy. So if by saying I'm a U.S. citizen, you know, that makes me better than you because I was born on one side of the border and you were born on another side of the border, I think that's a separation and I think that's unhealthy, okay? Because, again, I can identify where I'm from, and that's fine. So I can identify as someone from Oklahoma. I can identify as someone born in the United States. I can identify as someone who speaks English. But the moment that becomes something to separate me, well, you can't be part of my group because you weren't born in the U.S. You know, you're a foreigner, right? And not the band. So, you know, at the moment that that happens, of course, if it's the band, I'm going to, like, invite them right in right away because, you know, that's the good stuff. But the moment it becomes a separation is the moment we have a problem. The moment it's, well, you know, I'm from Oklahoma and you're from New England, so, you know, I'm more godly than you or you're better than me, whatever it is. The moment it becomes a separation is the moment it's a problem. Okay, so let's go ahead and do this meditation. So I want you to get to your comfy, nice places, and I'm going to do my best to have this play. So what I'm going to do is play it on the computer, and I'm going to try to stream it through my phone. So give me just a sec, okay?
Here it is. I ask that you create this moment as a moment of powerful transformation, and a moment where the illusions fall away and we see in truth. We are going to climb a mountain, and every step of this mountain has purpose. Every step of this mountain matters, and you will be shedding all illusions with every step that you take. With the first step, I want you to cast off your job or what it is that you do. Maybe your primary role is a caregiver as a parent. Maybe you work for yourself or you work for someone else. But as of this moment, no more. You cast off your job and what you do. Continuing to take steps forward and up the mountain, now cast off your education. Maybe that's just high school, or maybe you got your GED. Maybe you have a bachelor's degree or you have 2 doctorates. Whatever your education level is now, you cast it off because it is only a means of separating you from your truth. Now we're going to cast off our physical appearances. Whatever hairstyle you have or whatever it was when you had it, cast it off. Whatever the color is, whether it comes from Mother Nature or from a box, whatever the style is, the cut, curly or straight, cast it off now because it is only an illusion. It is not you. Now your eye color as well, whether genetics gave you blue eyes or brown, green or hazel, no more. You have now only the eyes of love. We identify so much with our style, and when you take the next step up this mountain, I want you to cast that off as well. Whether you consider yourself hippie, trendy, edgy, professional, whatever your personal style is for this incarnation, cast it off because, again, it is only a means to separate us from each other. Now we're continuing up the mountain, and you're feeling lighter already. The next things we're going to cast are going to be really big ones. And so you are prepared and you are ready. Set down money at this part of the journey. Set it down. Bank accounts, credit cards, paychecks, savings accounts, portfolios, investments, set it all down because it's just temporary and it's part of the illusion. It does not define you. It has nothing to do with who you really are. Now, for the next part, you're going to let go of, or what a lot of people will be your anchor and your safe place, your home. Do you live in a small home or a big home? Do you own a cabin by the lake? Whatever type of dwelling you live in, leave it here and continue to walk up the mountain, knowing that, again, we are just shedding the facades and the illusions. None of this is really who you are. It is just something to separate you from each other. We're continuing to climb, and around the next corner, we are going to cast off all family labels. So this means, am I a daughter or a son, a sister or a brother, a husband or a wife, father or mother? Do I identify as single, married, divorced, or widowed? Cast these off. Because, again, these are not the true you. These are choices for one single incarnation. They do not define you. They only serve to separate us. And now, whatever language you speak, whether it's one or five, cast them away, because we only speak the true language of love here. There is only one true language, and it's the language of the soul. All others are merely separation. Cast them away now. We only need to speak in love. Continuing up the mountain, we're now to the place of borders. You see, we identify so strongly with the borders that separate us from others in humanity. Whether that means I'm a U.S. citizen, I'm an American, I'm from Oklahoma, right down to the street that I live on. These two are illusions, only separating you from the others on this planet that harmonize and speak the language of love. Leave them here, all borders of separation. Continuing up the mountain now, we are going to let go of what we consider our race. Whether we identify as white, black, native, Asian, Middle Eastern, whatever those identifications are, they're only for this single incarnation. You can leave them here. We're continuing to strip away all illusions of separation until we come back to a place of inclusiveness, back to a place of just light and love. Now we're going to leave our beliefs, our religious beliefs, whether we identify as Christian, spiritual, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, or agnostic. Those are terms used to separate and divide us and to keep us from seeing each other in truth. Leave those beliefs here and continue up the mountain. And at this part of the journey, we're going to leave behind gender, whether I identify as male or I identify as female. And this includes whether I feel I am attracted to male or female, or I identify as straight, gay, bisexual, or pansexual. These are all labels, and we leave them here. Continuing up the mountain, we are so close now. And the very last one we're going to leave are political beliefs. Whether I identify as Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, or Libertarian, I leave those here now, because if there was ever a moment in time where our beliefs were dividing us more than any time, it's now. They are illusions of separation. They are not real. They only serve to divide us and keep us separated from our true inclusiveness and our personal power as souls. Leave them here and continue up. Up the mountain we go to the very top. And you see, at this point, we're just light. In this moment, you have shed everything that separates you from the others in this room and that separate you from every other being on this planet. It's all an illusion, the separation. None of it is real. And you are capable, and it is time of seeing past that illusion and into the light beings that we truly are. We all come from the same source, from the same beginning, the same life that broke off from source light eons and eons ago. Everything else is an accessory. It's just an illusion of separation, and we can choose to let it be. see yourself in truth and then see the person sitting on each side of you. They are magnificent spirit beings. They are beautiful and they are perfect exactly as they are. There's no need for anything other than being. This is your truth. Take it with you today and every day and remember who you truly are. Namaste.
Thank you.
And education and
namaste. So what were the hardest ones to let go? Courtney says the education and the political beliefs. So which ones were your hardest ones to let go? Give us some feedback here and let us know. You know, the reason the political beliefs were last for a very good reason, because that is definitely where a lot of a great many people are struggling. So we can see, you know, where that comes from, right? The political beliefs are definitely where people are struggling. Okay. And also, you know, the money, a lot of people identify strongly as whatever their bank account says.
That one I just did.
And so, you know, they have to figure out what their value is if their value is not indeed determined by what the bank account says. Because, you know, money is a made up system, you know, and that's very, very true from a perspective of us all being light and being light bodies and coming directly from source. You know, money is a created system. It's created with random pieces of paper that we assign value to. And yet we have so much stuff on money, you know. So, and Jana's saying she doesn't look at people like that at all. Yeah, I mean, we all have our different, you know, different things. It's interesting because the first time I thought I was, because I did channel that meditation, but it was one that I thought of before. And normally I don't know what I'm going to say till I start channeling it. But this one really stuck with me because one of the lines I thought I would be using is, who do you worship? Because, you know, there's a lot of where the worship goes will tell you a lot about someone. So some people, you know, they worship God and they're Christians. You know, some people worship many gods and they're Hindu. Some people worship money. You know, that's what speaks. That's what makes the world move for them. It's all about the money. And yet I know other people that worship science. You know, they have replaced religion with science. And in the same way that for, you know, 1,000 years, you know, certain people in certain religions have looked down on those that they believe that were beneath them because they didn't share their beliefs. Now we have a whole generation of people who worship science in the same way. And so if you're not capable of, in their minds, capable of seeing their science as the be-all, end-all, just like religion being the be-all, end-all, then they have a problem with that, you know. Then instead of saying you're a disbeliever, it's you're uneducated. So, you know, there's a whole lot of ways that which we can identify with, you know, different define us with who we are. But I thought part of it would say where your worship is. Emily wrote, the education, career, and weirdly the eye color were really hard for her. Well, you know, the eye color and the hair. Okay, so here's why they were in there. The eye color, because it is genetic. It represents your genetic line. Okay, and, you know, I will fully admit I have been interested in my, you know, ancestry and doing the genealogy charts and stuff. But at the same time, I look at that and I think, yeah, but I've been in thousands of family lines, you know, wouldn't I rather be looking at my own past lives versus the past lives of people that were related to me? Because that's never going to stop. Right. Because how many lifetimes have you had? And so genealogy it interests me from that perspective. Cause I think, why are we spending so much time learning about the people in this particular incarnation line when we've had thousands of incarnations. Why aren't we studying our own souls? You know, why aren't we taking this time to study us? So, okay. The hair color on that one was there because it's something that we can easily change. You know, it's something that you change a lot based on the mood or based on where you are in your life or based on your religion, based on your work. Hair is something that people use it as a means of expression. So that's why hair was in there, because it is a means of expression. You know, as I say that with my, you know, blue and rainbow haired daughter, haired child upstairs. You know, so there we go. And then Courtney wrote, I saw myself getting lighter and lighter as I shed each layer. It wasn't hard to release the layers except when I got to education and then politics. Education, because it feels like it's what I have going for me. My politics were hard to release because I feel like my politics are inclusive. Well, by definition, I think the politics, you know, mostly are divisive because of the parties. But, you know, it's that line. Should spiritual people be involved in politics? If it's a divisive area, then no, probably not. If it's an inclusive area, then yes. So what you have to do is make sure that you're not falling in line with the party line and that you're truly representing your beliefs in a spirit of inclusiveness. And then you're good.
I like what Marion really said.
Yeah. I shared that post of hers. Yes, now I stopped being really vocal about the election, you know, after Hillary was given the nomination, because I clearly was a Bernie fan. But yeah, you know, I was. I actually got to meet him and shake his hand, in fact, and got knocked over by a woman trying to get to him. So. Okay, so Melina, I've changed my hair color as a form of expression based on how she feels for 3.5 years after her brother passed away, because that was my emotion. Yes. You know, hair color is one of the easiest ways we have to express ourselves. And it does hold that energy for us. You know, we can give ourselves permission to be really brave and bold with our hair color when we won't do that in other ways. Like Avery's an absolute introvert, my 13-year-old daughter, total introvert. I mean, you know, you give her paper and some pencils and she can be lost for hours, but don't make her go anywhere and certainly don't make her talk to people. Okay. Not going to work. But yet she has electric blue hair with a rainbow underneath. So when you pull it up, all you see is a rainbow underneath. So her hair is this wild, bold expression, but yet she's an absolute introvert, very shy, very helpful though. So yes, I mean, it's interesting how we can choose to represent ourselves. Also with tattoos, you know, because a lot of people I know that are more shy and reserved are covered with tattoos. And to me, that is such a bold choice that wouldn't be a shy choice at all. But yet again, it's how you're comfortable in expression. You know, Scott said something the other day that you know, public speaking was one of the most feared things in the world. And I'm thinking, I love public speaking. I absolutely love it. So, you know, it's like, doesn't faze me in the least. I will just get up and channel something. I don't even care what it's about. So anyway, my expression is that. But what's really funny is if you see me on the street and you mention something I said either on the radio show or on Facebook or in one of my classes, I'll act weird, like, oh, how did you know that? No, part of me like makes the connection between, oh, people might listen to what you have to say. You know, like they'll come up and say something about a Facebook post and it takes me by surprise every single time. And I'm like, oh, well, how did you – are you watching me? No, no, that's it. So it's how we express ourselves. And so we have to look at even these expressions as being something very specific to this incarnation. I mean, it's possible that, you know, if you have a really solid channel to spirit, you could use that channel in different ways. So you could draw one lifetime, write one lifetime, sing one lifetime, but still how it specifically manifests is going to be specific to that incarnation, the way that it does. Okay, so Friday night for the full moon release. Again, since I know we have some people joining late, we're going to do finger foods, easy to eat foods. Bring whatever makes you really happy. You know, and I will say at the Sharknado party, I have not stopped craving Kay's little salad, Caesar salad inside the little Parmesan cheese shell. Yeah, those were like the best things ever. They were so amazing. I even like got the last one. I hid one in the refrigerator to make sure I got one because sometimes at the events I don't get things. And so you use Parmesan cheese, the shredded kind, and you put it over like a cupcake tin so that it forms the bowl shape, and then she mixes the Caesar salad and puts it in there. I have not stopped craving those things. I've even gone and bought the Parmesan cheese, but I didn't know exactly how to make it, so it's still in the fridge. But those were amazing, and I think the those would be really good with a Greek salad in there too. Just saying, in case anyone's feeling Pinterest brave for it. Okay, and so yes, so back to the release. So the food will be there. I might be hungry since I'm going a little crazy about those little salad cups.
Yes,
they were just amazing. So I will have the flash paper here, okay? So you don't need to bring that. I should have plenty of pens, plenty of pens. If it rains, we're going to do it inside in a big bowl. So we'll still do it even if it's raining. I hope it's not raining. Bring your lawn chair either way, okay? Because even if we don't go outside, I might not have enough seating inside. So bring your lawn chairs. Bring some kind of snackage, something to drink if you want. I can't think of anything else really. Food, drink, lawn chair, if you have it. I'll have paper and pens. Really spend some time thinking about what you want to release, okay? Think about what you want to release, because too many times what happens is we get here, you get the paper in front of you, and then the words don't flow, okay? But if you really, one of my favorite tools to really figure out what it is I'm feeling, what I do is I put my voice memo on my iPhone, and I just start rambling about things, how I feel. What would I release if I could? What did I want to get rid of? You know, blah, 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 blah. And so anyway, well, Kay just posted. She won't have time to make the salad cups. If you find the recipe, can you post it?
Oh, I just get my
recipe. Yeah. Psychic ability. There you go. Anyway, so really think, put the recorder on, ramble, let yourself ramble a good, 10 minutes. The thing is you will hear truths eventually come out that you weren't even quite sure they were in there, or you didn't even know how to word them, okay? It's when we let ourselves speak without a filter and without that wall of protection that we truly figure out where it is we are and what we need to release and what we need to heal, okay? And so that's the big thing. That's what we've got to do here. We've got to, figure out, where am I? What is it I need to release? And that's uncomfortable. And, and please don't worry about, well, I should be further along on my journey. No, you're exactly where you need to be. And for the love of all things sacred and holy, please do not think that everything releases one and done. When I did my own past life work, I discovered how very many lifetimes I had taken vows of poverty and vows of suffering. Evidently, that's just something I like to do, because I got in there and I'm like, I can't even count how many times I've done this. And so I released and I released and I released and I released, and nothing happened forever, it felt like. And so finally, it's kind of like EFT tapping, you can go through the circle 6 times and nothing happens, and all the time on that 7th time you get a huge shift. Same thing. You release it however many times you have to, plus one. You keep releasing it until it takes. You don't get discouraged. Think of it like getting on, you're going to leave Oklahoma and you're going to drive to California. You don't just get in the car and drive until your foot gets tired, and then you get frustrated because you're not there and you say, well, it didn't work. I didn't end up in California. I ended up in blah, 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 blah. Well, it's the same principle. If you think that, some things only have to be released once, and if it doesn't take, that it's not going to take, period. No, it's very much like driving to California. You have to keep driving until you get there. You keep releasing until you get there. And however many times it takes, plus one. Okay. However many times it takes, plus one. Okay. So, we just keep doing it. Now, after the release, remember there's two steps, just like breathing, okay? You know, you inhale, you exhale. The release is only half the process. So if you do a release and you don't put anything in its place, you are leaving the door open to attracting what you just released. Remember, you have to be ready with the new stuff. So bring paper or a pen, or do it when you go back home if you don't want to stay here to do it. But you have to put the new beliefs in where you just released the old. It's like the big exhale. And if you don't breathe in new air, you know, you're not going to be able to function very long. Same thing here. The release is about what you want to let go, but you have to be right there, ready to go with the affirmations, the positive statements for what you want to go in its place. Okay? Critical. And that's where most people, you know, don't follow the process. They just focus on the release, the release, the release, the release. Lena, I'm not gonna say that out loud. You can read it in the. It's just, oh well, I think I've been releasing wrong. No wonder. Well, darn. Yes. Well, this is the problem: is that we can get so focused on the release, we forget that you have to put something in its place. Right? It's kind of like cleaning out your closet. I can go to my closet and I can throw out everything that no longer fits me that I don't like and I don't want to wear. If I don't go put new clothes in there, I'm not getting a new wardrobe, am I? You know, if I want a new wardrobe or if I want a new life, I have to go to the closet and I have to throw out what I don't want. Okay, make room. That's the release. Write down these things that you don't want. Burn them, get rid of them, purge them, you're done, you're free. But then you have to put in the new pieces. So if you don't go get the new pieces of clothing, the new accessories, the new things that are going to make you feel awesome and, you know, your power suits and your great reds because everybody tells you wear red well, if you don't go get those and put them in the closet, you really don't have a new wardrobe. So if you don't put the new beliefs in, what you want to replace, you know, with where you just released, then you don't get a new life. You know, that's it. You don't. And so we have to put the new beliefs into practice. Now, remember, this is a habit. Remember, your new beliefs are a habit. You can't just say them one time and expect it to work. Your old beliefs that you're getting rid of, whatever they are, let's use, because we were using, you know, vows of poverty before, let's use poverty as an example. I'm going to write out, I release my vow of poverty. I release my poverty thoughts. I release any beliefs that I don't deserve good. I'll release any beliefs that I don't deserve prosperity. Okay, fine. I did it. I burned it. I released it, but I did nothing else. So, what mental habits are already in play in my brain? All the ones relating to poverty, right? So it doesn't matter that I just released it because I didn't put anything else in there. So with enough time, all those beliefs are going to start coming back. And because those beliefs are coming back, now the universe is going to bring me experiences that reflect it. So look, that release didn't work and I'm right back where I started and it didn't work. It never works, dang it. Okay? So we do the release. I do the release. I burn it. I let it go. And then I do decide to put, okay, I am prosperous. I'm a money magnet and I attract money every single day. Money is my friend. My income is constantly increasing. And I put them in my little sacred notebook and I shut that notebook and I don't have to open it again, right? Wrong. How long did you have these poverty-based beliefs? How many times does your mind autopilot on it, right? That they just pop up. You don't even have to be thinking about them. They'll pop up because they're reflected to you. Same thing here. You have to put just as much energy into the new set of beliefs as you had going into the old ones, okay? This means that every day you have to remind yourself, hey, now wait a minute, we changed. Just like going to that closet, opening up the door and seeing all these wonderful new clothes you have, all these wonderful new accessories you have. Open up your belief closet. Oh, that's right. I now believe I'm prosperous. I now believe I deserve good. I now believe I'm a money magnet. That's right. And when I put it on to wear it, it's going to change my frequency and it's going to change the experiences I have. And that's how this stuff works. And so we have to, you know, every time that, you know, you don't put the shirt on once and take it right back off and run to work, right? It's constantly there. Therefore, you have to make sure this new belief of prosperity is constantly there. It's constantly there. You're wearing it. You know, people are seeing you wear it. It's reflecting. It's affecting your vibration. It's out in the universe. You know, that's a power color for you, and you are owning it. And that power color is bringing in all these positive, wonderful new vibrations. That's how this works. Okay. And that's why it's two steps. It's always, always two steps. It's the release and the creation. The inhale, the exhale, what I want to let go of and what I want to bring in. And anytime you're only doing half of this, you know, you're not completing the cycle. It's a cycle. It takes two steps, inhale, exhale, full moon, new moon. Okay. I have just been reading Courtney's mind all night tonight. That's really funny.
Get out of my brain.
Get out of my brain. It's really funny because it was happening via text earlier too. It's just really funny. Well, I did my human design chart a couple weeks ago with someone, and she said that I don't read people's emotions as much as I think I do. I read their thoughts. And I went, no, 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 it's emotions. And she said, no, no, it's not. You're able to read people's minds. And I went, ooh, that's creepy. Don't say that. I don't want to be reading people's minds. And then I realized that that's probably true. Because that one time I went to this, and I'm going to be very vague on it. But I went to a big healing event in Oklahoma City, and there was a really well-known holistic Ayurvedic practitioner, a doctor that was there. And he was introduced to me, and I heard him say, and she introduced me as a healer and an intuitive, and I heard his thoughts, and his thoughts said, well, she can't be very good. She's fat. Yeah. I'll tell you off the air. I'm telling you, I heard it loud, and he knows I heard it because the look on my face was probably priceless, and he was probably going, oh, my God, did I say that out loud? And he didn't say it out loud. He thought it, but I heard it. I heard it just as loud as I'm hearing Courtney talking to me now. I mean, it was loud. His thoughts were loud. And so, yeah, he needed to work on a little bit of his shielding, because if I could hear that thought that easily, you know, and I my face was probably priceless. I wanted to say a lot, but I didn't. I was in too much of a shock. What I should have said is, you know, bud, if you have any idea everything I've healed, you'd be saying, wow, you're great, instead of, wow, you're fat.
Right.
His thoughts were so loud. Anyway, so I think that human design thing might be right. The more I realize it, the more, because you weren't feeling the new moon. You were thinking it, and I picked up on it. And then you were thinking the thing with the text. It wasn't a feeling. It was a thought, and I read it. And then a week ago, Scott was saying something to the girls, and he said, okay, let's see if your mom's really psychic, which she loves to do. And he said, I'm thinking of something in my head, what I want for lunch. And I just looked at him, and I said, you want sandwiches from which witch?
Well, like, you mentioned something... The last show I was over, you mentioned something about OJ, and I've just been binge watching that.
That's right. OJ. That's right.
And you said the look on my face, because I was like,
Yeah, that was really funny too, because I mentioned Courtney, and I had no idea she was binge watching this thing on OJ. I had no clue, but yet she was, and I mentioned it. And so, yeah, that's happening a lot here lately, especially since I did the human design thing. So I think that might be right. I think I might be picking up on thoughts instead of emotions.
And you, my brain, you just must be just like,
I'm just in your brain.
I trust you, but like,
yeah, I will.
Talk about no shield.
I know. Well, and that poor Dr. Gosher didn't have any, because he was. Yeah, did I say that out loud? That was literally his next thought.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Right now, seriously, just not yet.
Do I hear? Oh, yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Melina wrote, I just read Gene Key, similar to human design, pretty profound. Yes, I've done Gene Key analysis for clients before. It is really profound. The only downside of Gene Keys is, for the love of God, it takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to do one profile. It is not a very time effective way for healing. It is not very time effective at all. Okay. All right. So bring your ideas, bring what you want to release. Bring a notebook or paper so that you can put your new thoughts down, because what we'll do is we'll share not just in the release, but also in the creation. Okay. We'll share both. We'll share in both. And then, you know, when the next new moon comes up, we'll reaffirm these beliefs. Okay. Because again, it's kind of like going to that new closet. You know, in order to show off your new wardrobe, you have to actually put the clothes on and wear them. Same thing here. If you're going to use these beliefs to change your life, you have to actually take them out, remind yourself of them, dust them off, use them in sentences, you know, all kinds of ways that we need to use these. Okay. Also, a couple of other things going on. Hold on, let me pull up the calendar. So in October, so Halloween actually falls on a Monday. That Saturday before is our annual Halloween party. So if you are wanting to come to that, go ahead and mark that on your calendars. I'll be sending out an update on that when it gets to be closer, but it will be on that Saturday. We've always done it on Halloween. Every single year it's been on Halloween because I loved having, you know, the trick-or-treaters out because we light the big bonfire in the yard and bring out all the equipment and people just sit out there, and it's just really a lot of fun. But there's no way I can pull a party together on a Monday. So it's going to have to be Saturday. So that party will be going on, and that'll be in October, okay? And then there's one other thing I had going on that I needed to – I cannot remember. Sorry, I can't remember. I'll try to update, the group when it gets to be closer. Continue to really – this Mercury retrograde has been, you know, what the angels promised about the energy of revelation. So really pay attention right now, because if somebody is being deceiving or deceitful, if they're, you know, they're lying to you, this energy is bringing it right to the surface. So you have the ability to know the truth right now. So definitely be paying attention. Absolutely be paying attention. Okay, so I think that's it for tonight. It seemed like there was something else, but I've lost it now. Can't seem to remember what it is, but bring snack food if you want to Friday night's full moon release. Bring your lawn chair if you've got one. Bring your thoughts for what you want to release for the full moon. Bring your thoughts for what you want to create. If you need help wording the affirmation, that's not a problem, okay? I will be here, and then there's several other people in this group that will be really good at wording affirmations. So don't worry about getting the right wording on the affirmation, because we can help you. You know, we can help you with that. Just worry about making it be part of your life, part of your daily life. Okay. Well, anything else, Courtney? Anything else, Emily? You got anything?
You got anything in?
All right, that's it, guys. Okay, so talk to you next week. And let's see. I think that's it. Okay. Have a fantastic night. Have a fantastic week. And if nothing else, I will see you at my house on Friday evening. Namaste.